Well, good morning. It's good to see those that are here this morning. We will go ahead and get started with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And you may be seated.
Well, good morning, church family. Hope everyone is doing well this morning. I want to welcome everybody to Hillcrest Baptist Church. I have a few announcements for you this morning. Of course, we're going back to normal services, so we will be here tonight at 6 o'clock for our Sunday evening service, and then on Wednesday at 6:30, and we have RAs and GAs. There will be no youth this Wednesday, as the youth group will be in South Carolina at Fuge. We're excited about that. Be in prayer for our youth and our leaders as we gear up to serve. We'll be delivering beds to families with little children through an organization called Sleep in Heavenly Peace. And so be in prayer for that. We're excited about going. And tonight we're going to have a little prayer and send-off. And so if you can show back up tonight, that would be greatly appreciated. And I think I have an announcement from behind me. I'm ready.
It's good to see everyone this morning. We are going to have a mission project sponsored by Women on Missions. Now, this is going to be for University of Kentucky in Bowling Green. And Leah Walker, who we support as a church, is going to be the coordinator on her end. So here's what we need. We need everybody to do a little bit. In the back, you'll see a list. It's not an extensive list. And you don't have to get everything on the list, but when you get it, try to get large quantities, because we're going to try to fill 100 bags. These are welcome bags for when the students come back in August. So we need all these by August 1st. So some of the things are gum, individually wrapped hard candies, the chip snack size bags that you get huge amounts of those if you go to Sam's, Pop-Tarts, energy drinks. I had to ask about that. So examples are Red Bull, Monster, V8. They actually have an energy drink V8. It's kind of the healthier version. Well, pens, pencils, and sticky notes. So I think we all can, how many think they can help us out? I need to see more hands up. Great, maybe two hands? Okay, so go ahead, and we're going to get a box out there pretty soon. And hopefully we can get, you know, one box and maybe have to get more boxes. So I look forward to this and how we can bless these students as they come back to college.
Thank you, Miss Claudia. I have a couple more announcements. She reminded me of one. In the next couple weeks, we're going to have a box set out there as well from the Boy Scouts. They're making a flag retirement box. If you have a flag that needs to be retired, we're going to have a box that you can place that flag in, and the Boy Scouts will take care of that properly. I forgot the other announcement. VBS is coming up on the 21st through the 24th, Monday through Thursday. We're excited about that. It'll be all the kids will be here at church, and the youth will be off-site. And if you have questions about the youth VBS, come see me. I'd be happy to talk to you about that. There was another one, but I don't remember it, but perhaps I will. Father's Day? It's coming up, so don't forget your father. All right, that wasn't it either, but I don't know. All right, just be in prayer for everybody, but it is great to see everyone here this morning, and we want to welcome each other, and the way we're going to welcome is we are going to stand, and we are going to sing and wave. Windsor Alpha.
It's a glad time, a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined hands with Jesus as we travel this art. For I'm part of the family of God. And you may be seated as we continue on with What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. So faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou find a solace there.
if you would please stand as we continue on with Glorify Thy Name.
We have
into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Yes, Lord, even the rain. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us. Now, Lord, I pray for Hillcrest Baptist Church. Lord, the building going on in the back is built in your name. Ask, Lord, that we just progressing along as you would have it to go. Lord, be with our pastor as he comes now and breaks the bread of life, your word to us. I pray, Lord, mostly for those who are lost, that, Lord, that your spirit would draw them to yourself. Lord, when we leave this place, may we give you all glory, honor, and praise for the outcome. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. We're going to pray in just a second. We had a church member pass away this week, Bonnie Bryant. Some of you may know her, some of you may not, but she passed away. As far as we know, there's no service involved, but Wilma Davidson was her mom, and we all knew Wilma, what a precious soul she was. But Bonnie's always been supportive of our church. While she was here, she used to live in South Carolina, and then she moved here to be with Mom. But we're going to pray for that family. And also, we've got our Fuge students leaving, so we need to pray for them. Vacation Bible School's coming up. There's a lot of things going on. Plus, some of you have asked me, how come we haven't done anything so far out there? Well, there's a lake out there right now, so you'll be asking me next week, how come we haven't done anything this week? Because they're not going to be able to do a thing out there. So, you know who's in control of all this? Amen. So let's realize that God's timing is perfect. And we could worry and complain and all that, and it's not going to do a bit of good. We just trust Him, and when it gets built, it gets built. The longer they don't build it, we don't pay for it. So when it gets built, the hard job is going to be to get that thing paid for. So let's go to the Lord and pray together. Father Almighty, Lord God, we love you. Sure do praise you, Father, for the blessings of life, especially for Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our way back to the Father. We just praise you, God, for salvation. We praise you, Father, for eternal life to be with you in that place that you've gone home to prepare for us. We thank you, Lord, for the healing that you give, the answered prayers that you answer for us. Lord, we thank you that you call us your people. We especially thank you, God, for the Word of God that you've given to us to know your thoughts and to pattern our life through the Bible and its teachings. I thank you, Lord, for all that you do at Hillcrest Baptist Church, the opportunities, Lord, that you give us to serve you and to minister to people that come through this way, Father. And I pray for this time that we'll be able to minister to the college students in Western Kentucky, Lord, that we'll give and bless them. And Father, we think about Austin Peay, and I know we'll be doing something there too. God, just bless us with opportunities and let us respond in a positive way. We do pray, Father, for the Family Life Center and the timing of it. We know, God, that you've got it all under control. We pray, Father, for Bonnie Bryant and her brother and her family, Lord, that you would be with them and comfort them and take care of the whatever needs to be taken care of. Father, we pray for those that are traveling and ask, Lord, that you'd give them traveling mercies. We ask for this time as we open up the Word of God. And Father, the message today is one of the greatest messages that we could hear. So, Father, I pray for me. I pray that I would deliver your words as you gave them to me. And, God, we would just know that they're all from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. Or 11 through 15. Colossians 2, 11 through 15. Just a few verses today. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All right, Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 11, and we'll run through verse 15. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphant over them in it. A few verses. Remember a couple weeks ago we looked at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And it was talking about the Christian maturity of a church and its leaders. So today we're going to be talking about Christians, us, and how we are to grow in maturity. And if we do that, we've got to understand what Colossians 2, verse 6 says. So let's start out there, if you would. Read that with me. And Paul writes, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." So if you're going to mature in your Christian walk, Paul is exhorting us to walk in Christ. There's a whole lot more to this than just these words, by the way. First of all, if you're going to walk in Jesus, if you're going to walk in Christ, then you need to be saved. Shake your head if you heard me. The reason I say shake your head if you heard me, because it sounds so simple. And we that are saved, we forget that other people are not saved, but they think they are. Did that come out right? There's a lot of words right there in that sentence. I heard this morning, and I hear this all the time, that somebody has died. And they used to go to church many years ago. But since many years ago, they've quit going to church. They don't have anything to do with church. Seems to me like if you're saved, you're going to have something to do with church. Amen. Are they going to be one of these that gets up to heaven and the Lord says, "Depart from me, I never knew you. You claim me as Lord, but not." So this is a pretty important concept that Paul's teaching us. If you're going to walk in Christ, if you're going to walk in Christ, then you need to be saved. Just a real simple message there. And don't wait till you pass away from this earth to figure out that you're not saved. Just coming to church for 30 years doesn't make you saved. Coming to church for 15 years and then living 45 years outside of that surely doesn't make you saved. The only thing that saves us is the blood of Christ. So we need to understand that. And Paul teaches this, and I know this is going to be secondhand to most of you, but I'm going to go over some things that that are required to walk in the Lord. And number one is to walk in Him. When we get saved, we begin our walk in faith. James tells us that tribulations, trials, things that we go through grows our faith. So every time we go through something that's uncomfortable or something that's really hurtful, as saved people, as we walk through that, we're going to grow in our faith. So number one, when we get saved, we begin our walk in faith and realize that if you get saved when you're 50 years old, you're just a baby in Christ. If you get saved at 6 years old, you're still a baby in Christ. It's what goes on after you get saved that the maturity takes place. We learn the Word of God, and then we begin to apply that Word of God to our lives. As we walk in the Lord, we get saved, we walk in the Lord. We learn His Word, and we apply it to our lives. We begin to live with Jesus as Lord of our lives. I'll never forget Ruth Brown at our church in North Carolina. She was one of my dearest friends, and she was quite a bit older than me, and I looked up to her. She was wise could be. She knew her Bible, and she'd come in my office several times a week, and we'd get to talking, and she always told me, "Jerry, Jesus is either Lord of all or Lord of nothing." I loved Ruth Brown. Every time she told me that after she left, I want to make sure I'd been living right that week. He's either Lord of all or He's Lord of nothing. So as we grow in our Christian maturity as a child of God, He becomes Lord of our lives. We're going to look at our own life in a minute, but realize that if you're saved, Jesus is your Lord. We begin to live with Jesus as Lord of our lives, and as He's Lord of our lives, we are rooted and built up in Christ as we grow. All these things kind of tie in together. He becomes the strong and firm foundation in your life. How many of you have been rocked by something? When you're rocked by life, sometimes you just kind of go like this, don't you? But if you're firm and you got a firm, a deep-rooted faith, you're going to go like this, but you're not going to keel over. You're not going to go backwards. You're going to realize that God's in control of whatever you're going through. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're not walking in the Lord, if you don't have faith in Him, as soon as you go like that in your faith, you're going to fall over. So as we walk in Christ, realize that He's our roots. He's our firm and strong foundation. And all Christians need to understand that, because we're going to get to parts of life we just absolutely hate. There's going to be things health-wise, financial-wise, family-wise that we're just not going to want to go through. But with Christ and our walk in Him, we'll make it through. The reason we make it through is because He abides in our souls. He abides in our lives. And if He's Lord of our life, He will guide us through that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't walk into death, I walk through the shadow of the valley of death. So God's always this. So after all this, there's a whole lot more to this, but this is as far as we're going today. I want you to just take a moment and reflect on your own life. It would kill me as your pastor to have a fellowship with each other and me not knowing whether you're saved or not and have to do your funeral. My hope, my prayer would be, as I do your funeral, yes, this was a great man of God, a great woman of God, but I would hate it that we've been together 16 years and I thought you were saved and you get up to heaven and God said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So just take a moment and reflect in your own heart. Are you walking in Christ? Is your faith so strong that whatever comes your way is not going to destroy you? I want to remind you of two saints in the Bible talking about walking with the Lord. After walking with the Lord for 300 years, I want you to picture in your mind this little story I'm fixing to read you. Enoch walked with God in the coolness of the evening, just as night and day are meeting and lengthened and shadows began to fall across the earth. Remember the Bible story. Enoch walked with God and then was not. God just took him alive up to heaven. Together they walked, speaking, communicating, one the created, the other the creator. As they walked, Enoch please God, daily this walk takes place. He takes place in the chill of the winter, the heat of the summer. Enoch daily walks with God in the freshness of spring and the drab foreboding of fall. And then one day, as Enoch and God walk together, as the sun slowly set, Enoch notices that he's traveled far from his home and from his family and possibly says to God, I did not realize we had walked together such a great distance from my home. Should we not turn around now before the deep darkness falls? And God, hearing these words of a man who pleased God, said, No, Enoch, let's continue our walk. Tonight, I would like you to go home with me. And he did. Isn't that a great story for us, that looking forward to that kind of stuff? Can you imagine Enoch walking with God? That's a great thought right there. In the cool of the night, it didn't matter. He always walked with God. And back then, you know, they didn't have this. They didn't have preaching like we have. They didn't have Sunday school. He walked with God. He pleased God. And they walked together. And then Enoch was no more. Well, Enoch had a son, Methuselah. Methuselah had a son, Lamech. And Lamech had a son, Noah. So listen to this about Noah. Noah walked with God because his life was lined up with God's ways. No one can walk together except they be agreed. Remember what Noah did. This story talks about two men were trying to get a piece of furniture through a doorway. After much frustration and energy was expended, the men stopped and looked at each other with a puzzled look. It was finally determined that they were pulling in opposite directions. Kind of reminds me of Baptist. But anyways, this story is making the point. Noah walked with God. He went in God's direction. So as we walk with God, realize that we need to be walking in God's direction. So where do you get his direction? From his word. Do you think it was an accident that a great-grandson walked with the Lord, knowing that he had a great-granddaddy that walked with the Lord? Now, this is free. This is Jerry now. I think it's worth saying, our kids watch us. Our grandkids watch us. I have a great-grandson. I would hope that one day he will watch us in. I hope that we're what we're supposed to be. They watch us. We're to teach them to walk in the Lord. That's one of our jobs as a Christian, as a growing Christian. And there's a lot of things, never mind, I'm getting off pace here. There's a lot of things that we don't do right. You just figure that one out. So realize our walk affects people. Paul continues explaining walking in the Lord in verse 11. So if you would, read verse 11 with me. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I cannot tell you how much I have prayed for this message, because I need to make sure that every single word I say is right. First of all, when we walk in Jesus, that means a union with Christ. We are told to be in him, to walk in him. So when we walk in the Lord, we're in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have access to his grace. We have access to his blessings. We have access to his forgiveness. In fact, the Bible says he abides in us. We have access to the very being of Jesus Christ. So we're a union with the Lord Jesus. So as he talks about being in Christ, realize that we have all this, plus our minds can't fathom what we do have in Christ. Second, Paul addresses the issue of circumcision. Now, this is a new teaching we're fixing to hear about, or they're fixing to hear about. Remember, in the Old Testament days, circumcision was a physical procedure done by man. It was a sign that the people belong to God, but it was made or done with man's hands. It represented the cutting away of the body of sins back then. It was this physical sign that you belong to God and you followed God. Sometimes a man would be older and be circumcised, but most of the time, according to Leviticus, you took your baby at the eighth day and you circumcised that baby. And that represented that baby set aside, sinless, and being in holiness. Now, we know that they didn't have the Lord's forgiveness like we do, so they made sacrifices back then. But God circumcised, or had them circumcised, as a sign to set them apart, that people would know that they belong to the Lord. Now we have some new teaching. As we look at the new teaching, let's look at verse 11 and 12 together. Now in him you also were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And he goes into verse 12, and we'll look at that in a second, buried with him in baptism. So let's look at this New Testament circumcision as taught in verse 11. This is a circumcision made without man's hands. This is a circumcision made by the Lord Jesus. It's not a physical cutting. It's a spiritual circumcision. It's one that Jesus Christ does only to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It's not infant circumcision, as Leviticus would do back in the old days. It's done by making a decision for Jesus, a well thought out, a decision based on your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You put all this together, and the Lord circumcises you. He sets aside the sin in your life. And as he sets that aside, God looks through Jesus at you. So it is a sign, but it's a sign to God that you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Again, Jesus cuts away the unclean. He cuts away the body of sin. And he does it to any and all believers. A choice we have to make. Keep going to look at verse 12 with me. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Jesus, he's talking about baptism now. The only way that he could take away your sins is one way, and one way only. That's by death. By the spilling of blood. Whose blood is going to have to be spilled to make sure that you get saved when you think you are? The Lord Jesus Christ. It is a sacrificial death on the Lord Jesus' part. He is the perfect sacrifice. He's the only perfect sacrifice. And he has to spill his blood. He has to die on that cross for our sins to please the Father. God cannot be around sin at all. So when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all our sins. He died 2,000 years ago for the sins back then. He died now, 2,000 years later, for our sins, and 2,000 years in the future if he doesn't come back, for their sins. He bore our guilt and punishment for all sins. He satisfied God's great need for perfect blood. Someone wrote this about Jesus' death. Therefore, when we really believe and trust Christ that he died for us, God removes our sins from us. He cuts away both the sin and the guilt and throws it away. This means a most wonderful thing. We stand before God without sin. Imagine standing before God sinless, completely and totally forgiven, accepted by God as perfect. But never forget why. It is because of Christ and Christ alone. When we stand before God for that first time, take our last breath here and face Jesus face to face, we're going to get in heaven not because of our good works or how much we've come to church or all the good things that we think we've done. We're going to get in heaven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe it? Yeah. I hope we do. I hope we believe it and trust it, that we have faith in it. This is what Christ did for us. He did it for all people. As he talks about the baptism, when a person placed or somebody places him up under the water, he's declaring that God counts him buried with Jesus. So as we go through the waters of baptism, when I put you down up underwater, if I let you come back up, that represents the burying of your old self with Christ. And then when we're raised, that represents you're declaring to God that I'm clean. I'm a new person. I raise you up in newness of life. Now, the baptism doesn't save us. It represents the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So make sure that we're right with the Lord, that we've been scripturally saved and scripturally baptized. Paul keeps on going, so we need to answer some questions as he gives us verses 13 and 14. So let's read those two verses. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. This is a certificate of debt, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. At this point, you've accepted Jesus. You've been scripturally baptized. You are dead to sin. I'm not saying we're perfect. We'll be struggling with sin the rest of our life. But when God sees us through the death of Jesus Christ, that we've accepted him, God sees somebody that is dead, circumcised, cut away the sin in our life. Is it important so far? You bet it is. If you're dead to sin, you're dead to the old flesh. You're dead to the old self. You've been made alive in Jesus Christ. Your sin debt has been canceled, blotted out, obliterated. He's taken care of it. I don't know how you feel about that, but I have spent much prayer for me, and I went back a long ways in my life, and I'm so very grateful to God for giving me life, made me alive in Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that. He blotted out my sin, obliterated my, just blasted it, is gone. Well, let's look at some of the things that took place on the cross. So if you would, run over to 2 Corinthians, back a couple books. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. And then we'll start looking at some things that took place on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Again, Paul writes, "For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That's pretty heady stuff right there. That's pretty important stuff. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin so that we could be declared righteous as God is. So just a few things that took place on the cross. Someone had to die on the cross. We know that's Jesus Christ. The Bible says something like this: "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life." Romans 5:8, "He loved us even though we were sinful, even though we lived in sin." If you go back and study Isaiah 53, you realize that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, never sinned, but he bore our sins on his shoulder. So as you look at the cross, somebody had to die on that cross for our sins, and Jesus willingly gave his life for us. He became our sin that we may become righteous like God through Jesus Christ. So when we look Jesus face to face, when we get to see the Lord face to face, somebody's going to have to die for our sins, and we have to accept it. That's what we do when we get saved. We're going to be made righteous as God is through that person that died on the cross for us, which is Jesus. Only through him will we be acceptable to God. The second thing, there's a whole bunch of things. I just chose six to share with you. The second thing that happened at the cross are our lives are transformed from sinner to the righteousness of God. Now think about that for a second. God has transformed us. Jesus has transformed us when we get saved. That's why we walk in Him. He abides in us. We grow in our faith. We do the things that Jesus has taught us. We apply the Word of God. We are transformed. So if you are not transformed, if you went through the waters of baptism and you came up and you gave your life to the Lord and nothing happened, then probably you didn't really give your life to the Lord and you're not saved. Something happens. We are transformed. We are changed from the old to the new. The third thing, at the cross, we can be saved forever. We will be saved forever. There's no losing your salvation. There's no losing that life that Jesus has saved you and given to you. You have been circumcised by Jesus. And that circumcision, as God looks at you, is eternal life. It's a sign, a visual sign to God that we belong to Him. Which means that you belong to God, and if you are not circumcised, then you don't belong to God. The fourth thing at the cross, our sin debt was paid in full. We've all sinned. We give it to the Lord. He bore it on His shoulders. He took care of it. It's taken care of. He took the guilt away. He took the unforgiveness, all the sin that we still commit, He took away. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say something like this. Well, you just told a lie, so you're going to hell. Well, if that'd be the case, we'd all be going to hell. We do things, don't we? Sinful things. Our debt was paid in full, forever. Fifth thing at the cross, Satan was defeated. Death. Amen. Death was defeated. 1 Corinthians 15:55. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, Hades, where's your victory? I tell you where it's at. It's hanging on the cross. God defeated death. I've already told you that when you get saved, you get eternal life forever. That's the promise. He defeated death. You may die physically in this body, but your soul is not going to die. One day, I don't know how all this is going to take place. I don't think anybody does. But one day, we're going to figure it all out when we see Jesus face to face and it all happens. But it's going to be great to be in heaven and not in hell. Whatever it's going to be like, I guarantee you it's going to be fantastic. I was watching Justin Wilson. Anybody know who Justin Wilson is? Louisiana cook. I guarantee. Yeah. I guarantee you it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. I hope you're looking forward to it. The Lord Jesus defeated death on the cross. Sixth, sin was condemned on the cross. God took care of it. Because He became our sin was nailed to the cross. You're no longer condemned when you get saved. Don't hear anybody tell you anything different. Don't believe them. There's no condemnation to those that have been saved by Jesus Christ. God looks through Jesus as He sees us. I'm so very grateful that Jesus does this. We accept Him. We walk in Him. Somebody wrote this, and this is what we're going to close with. Whenever you begin to feel low, useless, hopeless, remember that you're only seeing life from your limited point of view. Your Heavenly Father sees much more than you ever could, and He watches you with eyes of love and forgiveness because Jesus died for you. Yes, He knows where you are in life, including the faults and the failures that bring your heart or break your heart. But more importantly, He never loses sight of the person He made you to be. God sees all the potential in you and assigns the assignments He created for you to accomplish. And because you are in Christ and He is in you all things are possible if you'll believe. So do not despair and don't give up. Your Heavenly Father knows how to get you from where you're at to where you need to be, from feeling low and helpless or hopeless to being a vessel through which His glory shines. So continue to align yourself with His purposes for you. Certainly He will bless you more than you could ever imagine and lead you on the path to His life, the life that is best for you, because you are walking in Christ. This was a good message. It's an encouraging message. It's a message to make us realize that it's all through Jesus Christ. Everything we're about, everything we do, is because of the Lord Jesus, His power, His sovereignty. He is Lord. He is God. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. There is no other. He's the one true living God. He's brought us here today. Whoever's here today, He's brought us here. Whoever's not here, I guess He chose, let them make their own choices. But I know that He brought us here, and I know that somebody needed to hear this message today, that you've been struggling with your life, wondering why, Lord, or Lord, I do feel hopeless. I'm helpless to rectify whatever's going on in my life. Maybe somebody has realized I never really invited Jesus into my heart. I don't know, but God knows who you are. And you're sitting here today because He brought you here to hear how to get saved, how to walk in Him, and to have faith in Him, and to believe and trust in Him. So I'm going to offer you an invitation today. The invitation is, if you've never invited Jesus into your life, come on down, walk down that aisle, the aisles, and come on, I'll be up front, I'll pray with you. I'll tell you how to invite the Lord in your life. But maybe you've been struggling with things of life, and you just can't get over them. Well, God's watching. If you've really been saved, He'll take care of that some way or another. I don't know how, but He can and He will. Trust Him, walk in faith. It's a powerful word today. Let's apply it to our lives. So stand if you need to have prayer, if you need something to make a decision for the Lord. Come on down and let me pray with you. And some of you, you can pray in your pew, or you can come up here to the altar. It's always open. But let's pay attention to the message and do some self-evaluation and make sure that we're right with God.
I'd be enslaved.
heart with Jesus, thank God I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be.
Let's pray. Father Almighty, I pray for each one now as they leave. I pray your blessings on them, Lord. I pray that you give them traveling mercies on the way home. And Father, whatever's left of this afternoon, I pray it would just bring honor and glory to your name. And as we return back tonight, Father, and I pray for the activities that take place and the ministries, and Lord, that whatever is said and done today would all be for your glory. We love you and praise you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.